Imagine a space for South Asian women where stories are not just told, but actually felt. This is Rue, Rising Over Obstacles and Healing, brought to you by Jyoti and Monica, two friends who set out to carve a little space and make a difference by sharing stories and fostering healing and strength within our community. We invite you to listen and reflect, finding your own path one story at a time. And just for sticking around, there's a golden biscuit at the end of each episode. When I was born, there was so much excitement. I was the first child in the family. My parents were over the moon to have me. And a few years later, my sister was born. And I'd like to say the same excitement was there, the same feelings were there. However, sadly, I don't think that's the case. Though my parents were very excited, my mom tells me that she started hearing things from people around her, whispers like, oh, she's one of six daughters. So my mom has five sisters and one brother. So she heard things like, well, she's one of six sisters. So now that she's had two daughters, she's probably going to have four more daughters. Because, you know, in a South Asian family, that kind of thinking makes perfect sense, right? You know? So it didn't stop there. It wasn't just like, oh, now she's going to have six daughters. It was even suggestions on what the second daughter should be named to guarantee that the third child is going to be a boy. So my sister's name, her name comes from a suggestion that was given to my parents, and her name is Rajni, which apparently they said means Rajge, which translates to like, I'm satisfied with the number of girls I have now. So the next one should be a boy. Coincidentally, it worked. My brother was born after my sister. It was a strange feeling to witness, even as a child, that quiet anticipation for a son in a family that now had two daughters. And it's a feeling that makes me think of my brother's wonderful wife, Ritu. Ritu grew up in a household that mirrored ours in one significant way, but was unique in another. She's one of three girls with no brothers. Her family faced those same societal expectations, perhaps even more intensely. But their journey and her experience offer such a vital perspective on what it truly means to be a family of all daughters in a South Asian context. I'm so excited to have her here today to share her story. Welcome to the show, Ritu.
Yay. Firstly, thanks for having me before your brother got on the show. Now I have something to hold against him for the rest of his life.
Yes.
Because that's what marriage is, ultimately,
yes.
Right?
Exactly. So tell me, how was it like growing up with two sisters? Like, what was your family dynamic like?
So just to offer some perspective and give the viewers an image of how we grew up, we didn't grow up surrounding a lot of South Asians.
Okay.
We grew up almost, if you can picture, the typical Nicholas Sparks book and the small town vibes. We grew up in a very Caucasian town where we were maybe one of five Punjabi families in this whole town, right? So very tight-knit community, but very far from that normal South Asian community you'd find in like Surrey or even Seattle or even New York City or Brampton, this major populated with our kind, right?
Mm-hmm.
But growing up, I think that might have led us to be a little bit different than the typical family and not have as much societal pressure.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that was the benefit of growing in that environment. But as far as being raised in a family with just girls, I thought it was the best thing ever. If I could go back and change anything, I wouldn't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking on my wedding day, like, this is it. You know, the best part of my life is over. It was my childhood. Like, right?
Yeah.
That's how amazing of a childhood I had.
Yeah.
It was just like being raised by two extra moms. My sisters are, one is 6 years older than me and the other is three. And I owe them everything for exactly how I turned out, right? And how successful I am. My parents and them.
Well, we owe them as well because you're a great addition to the family.
Yeah. No, I got lucky. I realized shortly after marriage, my life wasn't over. I've just been so fortunate. throughout everything, right? I feel so much gratitude for the life I've been given.
Mm-hmm. So can you recall like any specific instances or comments from relatives or the community? Like, I understand you grew up in a town where, you know, you didn't necessarily have a lot of South Asian like families around, but like your relatives, distant relatives and whatnot. Do you ever recall like any specific instances or comments that they might have made that highlighted like a preference for sons?
Yeah, there's actually two instances I recall that at least I remember in my childhood pretty vividly. One mm-hmm. was that we were at someone's box and I was just playing around, you know, probably not, you know, doing what I was supposed to be doing. I was a child yeah. then, but I was playing around and this auntie who honestly, I don't know who it was. This auntie came up to me and she's like, "Hey, wouldn't you love a brother?" Right? What unsolicited.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just out of okay. the normal. She's out of like.
Yeah. Just out of the blue. Just like oh, a yeah. random.
Yeah. Just a random auntie. She was like, "Wouldn't you want a brother?" That's how the conversation started. And maybe it was because I was playing around and she felt like, hey, like, you know, when even growing up, I was like very athletic. I was wanting to play like sports with like the guys. And she said it based on that. But anyways, she comes up to me. She's like, "Wouldn't you want a brother?" And she's like, "You know what? You should go to your mom and ask her for one."
What?
She's like, "Since you have two sisters," she's like, "go to your mom and ask her for one."
Because it works like that, you know,
yeah,
you just magically like, go ask your parents and then magically a brother appears.
Yeah. Wow. So I don't, you know, I don't know any better, right? As a child, I went to my mom.
Wow.
My mom was in the middle of doing, you know, seva in the kitchen. And I went to her and I was like, "Mom, you know what I'd really want?" And, you know, she doesn't know what the heck I was going to say, right? And yeah. I was like, "I want a brother. I want a baby brother." And she's looking at me like, where does she get, you know, where is she coming yeah. up with this stuff? And later we yeah. had a conversation about it. My mom asked me like, who said it? And maybe she felt some type of way about it. But that yeah. never came back to me. And I okay. think that's something that's, my parents were really good about with anything, whether there was any financial struggle at home, whether there was anything being said about our family, none of that stress transcribed yeah. to us, right? Like they kept mm-hmm. it, they kept us very sheltered from anything bad.
Yeah.
They were just really good parents ultimately, right? So that was one instance. Second mm-hmm. was when I got older, I realized that I guess everyone's family has this antagonist bua, but yeah. mine did as well. And I found out my buaji cried every single time my mom gave birth to her child, right? So she cried when my sister was born. She cried when my other sister was born. She cried when I was born. So that's
and
something.
And these were not tears of joy.
No, they weren't. It's like, oh my God, my brother's not being given a son. Right.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I'm sure that impacted my mom's relationship with that family yeah. member, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe my dad's too, because if I'm thinking about it, we're not like that close to them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how could you be, right? Like if your arrival is met with just tears and sadness.
Yeah.
That's a shame, really, you know? But did you feel like as you were growing up that there were different expectations for you and your sisters compared to what might have been expected of a son, like in a similar family?
Possibly. I think my dad specifically did a really good job raising us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously my mom did too. She was raising us pretty independently because my dad was working so much. But I just recall like it was never coddling, right? Like his yeah. love was never like he raised us like I think he would have raised his sons. Where like he mm-hmm. taught us how to change our tires, he taught us how to like, you know, take care of our cars, and he taught us how to just be very independent and not just give us like girl roles,
yeah.
you know? I never felt like I need to get married because a man needs to take care of me, right?
Okay,
if anything,
yeah.
I felt like he was raising me to be independent and mm-hmm. he was raising me to find a companion who's, you know, companionship I enjoy.
Yeah.
Which
who's
is
like
your
equal.
Thing, right?
And, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then because of that, I think it makes you understand your worth, right? It's like, I don't
yes.
need anyone to take care of me. You know,
yeah.
I was,
yeah.
he encouraged going to school. I wouldn't have gone as far as I did if it wasn't for him and how hardworking he is.
Yeah.
So I think he set the bar for raising us like sons. And even
yeah.
with the expectation that with his son, you'd have like, now it's your turn to take care of the house, like the bills.
Okay.
He did that for us too, right? Like when we turned
oh, wow.
a certain age, he's like, you're yeah. paying your car payment. You're paying for house bills. You're going to be, you know, financially contributing member of this family. It wasn't
yeah.
like going, a woman need to be you know, looked after, or like, you know, it's my job to take care of my daughters forever. And I think actually that helped, because then it's like your daughters aren't a burden, right?
You bring up such a good point, because the burden actually comes from back in the day when women did not work. So they weren't, you know, financially contributing member of the family. And I think also dowry played a big part, because women were raised to only take care of like the household chores and whatnot. And, you know, I really like how you said that your dad made you guys so independent that you recognized your own self-worth, which is the complete opposite of how women were raised back in the day. It was like everything was catered to men, and everything they were taught to do was to take care of men and forget their own needs and forget their own independence and whatnot, you know? And then if that wasn't enough, it was like, well, we have to give a dowry. And the thought of having daughters and getting them married off and having enough dowry for them, I think, is what led to people viewing having girls as a burden, you know? And it's really sad when you think about it, because I'd like to think that we've come forward from that, that we've moved away from that thinking, but it's still there. You still see it. So I love like what you were saying about how your dad made sure you guys knew how to change tire, which I still don't know, by the way.
Yeah. I'm not sure. He definitely did his due diligence to give us the skill sets, right? I haven't had the need to change one, so I probably need a, you know, but he definitely taught us a lot about cars. Yeah. About cars, yeah. About taking care of things, about just like general, like manual labor, right? Like I've mowed the lawn, right?
Yeah.
We used to have to shovel our own. We grew up in Connecticut, so it would snow significantly. And we were the ones shoveling, right? We didn't have a brother to shovel, right? But all those things ended up benefiting us, right? We were very hardworking, I think.
You are. And, you know, all three of you have such a good head on your shoulders. And I'm always in awe of all that you've accomplished. So tell me, like, being the youngest sister, what was that like for you?
I definitely think I got luck of the draw being the youngest, right? Similar to your episode previously last week, right? I think the youngest has a little bit of leeway with expectations.
Yes.
I will 100% agree with that. Although I think I reached a certain point in my life where I realized I had that and I didn't want to be handicapped. So I even took it a step further and I left the house, and that's when I started travel nursing.
It was
to kind of independently kind of break away from maybe the little handicaps or the training wheels that I have still had on. Mm-hmm. But I also felt that my sisters were my caretakers, right? So my oldest sister specifically, I think she really filled the role of the eldest son in our house. And I think she still does. If I needed to be protected, she would protect me. So there's one story I vividly remember where my sister kind of took this realm of the oldest son would. And I felt like, oh, yeah, you know, she's definitely filling this role. And it's when we were all together at this nightclub and this guy unsolicitedly, you know, hit my behind. And
okay.
Yeah. So no context. My oldest sister, Pita, she's not even there. My middle sister, she's also very timid, I'd say, out of the three of us. I think, Jyoti, you'd agree.
Yes.
Yeah, literally
I agree.
The sweetest person I've ever met. Like,
yes.
She's a kind
soul.
Couldn't
hurt a fly.
But this woman, she sees someone hit her baby sister, right?
Yeah.
And she goes up to the guy and she just slapped him.
Oh my gosh.
She takes upon herself to slap this guy. And
wow.
Because she witnessed what had happened, right? Like the inappropriateness of this like occurrence. And then Pita, who is like out and not like actually understanding what had gone on, she didn't witness anything. She just sees Navu slap this person. She goes up to the guy and she slaps him.
Oh my gosh, no questions asked.
No questions asked. Like, Navu, I understand, she saw what happened, she's like, that's inappropriate. Pita's like, well, you know, Navu's never in the wrong, which you know, pretty accurate. Navu's never in the wrong. She goes and slaps this guy too. I remember telling Rupe the story and he's like, I would never mess with Pita. And I was like, hell yeah, you should never mess with her. I think he's a little afraid of her. I really do.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, right? And that's exactly
right.
You're usually afraid of the big brother, right? Like,
exactly.
Big brother.
Yeah. She's your big brother.
Yeah.
But you know, that's the other thing too, is that she's not your big brother. She is the protector.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I think when we just say brother, it's what we expect from a brother.
Yeah.
But who's to say a sister can't be that person? And in your case, she is. And I see her as the person who, you know, she's very much in charge and she's sort of taken over the responsibilities and whatnot. So that whole mindset and the stereotype that we have in the South Asian culture that only, you know, we need to have boys because boys will take care of their parents. I'm sure Pita would beg to differ.
Oh, yeah.
100%. You know, all of us would beg to differ seeing the dynamic in your family, you know. So I don't think that's the case anymore. I don't think having this, you know, that you have to have a boy in the family, that the boy is the one who's going to take care of the parents. The boy is the one who's going to handle whatever family matters. In this case, slapping the guy who was inappropriate, you know. So do you recall any instances, any moments where your parents, whether they shared it with you or not, where they felt like, you know, they wish they had a boy?
I don't think so. I think I would have remembered that if they did.
Yeah.
But kind of going back to how good of like parents they were, any stress or any emotion that they felt could transcribe to us negatively, they really sheltered us from, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure my mom has felt that at some point, right? How can you not when your husband's sister has that reaction? Or, you know, I'm sure other people whose similar stories I haven't heard with the reaction of my dad having three girls, right? But they never let us feel that. So I think with that, my mom's really good. Mm-hmm. My mom was very successful in hiding if she did have any negative emotions or, you know, maybe it didn't affect her, right? Maybe she knew, like, you know, she was fortunate to have three girls.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's certainly my attitude. I, you know, definitely feel like it's lucky few who do have girls, you know. I mean, children are a blessing no matter what. Actually, at the end of the day, I think that's really the main point is not, you know, whether it's a boy or a girl, just, you know, children are a blessing and they should be treated equally and raised equally, you know. But I can't help but think, I mean, knowing what you've accomplished and your sisters, you know, can you tell me a little bit about how your parents encourage you each to kind of find your own path?
Yeah, so my parents had very the stereotypical, you know, immigrant life in America. My mom finished college in India, then she got married, and my dad was like a little bit of a goon when he was doing his studies. Really nice man. You never expect that out of him, but he never really finished college fully. So when they got here, you know, my mom worked at a photo mask company for us like most of her life, and she still works there. My dad worked at a full service garage, right? So nothing that had to do with like, you know, higher education, very, you know, nowadays, like basic jobs.
Yeah.
But my dad's main thing was like, I worked this hard, right? He worked 14 hours a day for his whole life, right? I don't remember the last time. He's still working. He retired and he's still, you know, working. But his and my mom's goal was that you guys have the luxury to be sent to school and you're going to have the luxury to finish school and you guys are going to do something where it's not as hard, right? It's not manual labor like they were doing. And that led to my sister becoming physician assistant. Navu became an occupational therapist. We all chose career in medicine and even like finished our masters and our doctorates. So I think they set the path. And I know that this is a story for like a lot of kids here, you know, their parents work really, really hard, but I don't know. I think doing it for three girls and my dad working his whole life and my mom working her whole life to provide education, because I know that's not the normal either, right? Sometimes people don't send their daughters to college, right? Because the thing is, they're not going to reap the benefits of sending us to college.
Yeah.
The houses we get married to reap the benefits, right?
Exactly.
And I remember actually bringing it back to mom, my mother-in-law. She one time told mom, like, you know, maybe this concept of dowry came up during our marriage, right? And my mother-in-law told my mom, she's like, how can you even think that, you know, we would ask something like that?
Yeah.
Because everything you've done for her, you know, she works and she earns, like, that comes to our house, you know?
Yeah.
Mom, my mother-in-law had said, like, you know, we owe you something, right? For one, giving
you can
us
just
daughter.
Say our mom.
Our mom, yeah. I know, it gets really confusing. Rupe gets confused all the time. He's like, what mom are you talking about? But, right? So our mom had gone to my mom and said that, right? And I think that was probably like the day where my mom was like, you know, I feel so safe for my daughter to go into this house, right? I don't think she even thinks about me, honestly. my own mom bashed her eye, right? She was like, I think she knows, like, I got so lucky, right? Which ultimately I did. I never feel like I'm living with my mother-in-law or like this and that, right?
Yeah. Well, I think it's the understanding on everyone's part. My mom, I think maybe because she's one of six sisters, she must have experienced that pressure that comes from society. So I think she always in her head was like, I'm never going to be that typical mother-in-law. You know, for her, it was very important and still is to empower girls and women and to let them do what they want to do. And she considers it, and she always says it, that, you know, when a girl gets married and she comes into the boy's home, she's leaving everything behind. And she's kind of doing you a favor by coming into this family. So instead of giving dowry along with your daughter, it should be the other way around. It should be the groom's family that's actually, you know, giving something to the bride's family as a thank you. Thank you for raising this daughter, and thank you for giving her everything you've given her, that now she's going to come into our household and take over the responsibilities or whatnot. You know?
Yeah.
That's the perspective, I think, that she's always had. And that's what makes sense to me as well. Guys, we've been doing this all wrong all this time. The dowry should actually be given to the bride's family from the groom's family. So take note of this, because that's what we have to start doing going forward. So were there times that you felt uniquely empowered by your upbringing with only sisters? And were there ever times when you felt like limited by it?
I think more so being empowered is how I felt growing up with sisters and how I was raised. And that just comes from, I think, honestly, how well of a job my parents did raising us, right? Being given the gift to not have limitations as far as going out, exploring, or even choosing our career path, choosing our spouses, right? I think that all played a part in how I never felt like, because I was a girl born into a family, that I have limitations, right? I felt, if anything, if my parents had a boy, they would allow us to do the same things. And I think given that trust, that initial trust that my parents just had in each one of us, and the faith that they had that they were raising us well, and, you know, they can't just restrict us for our gender, right? Can't just be like, you're a girl, you can't go out, this and that. Not that we even had the desire. I think we're actually all homebodies, so they lucked out in that aspect too. The trust and the faith that they put in us made us make sure that we never disappointed them ultimately, right?
Yeah.
And I think that just is a great tip for all parents. You know, if you put trust and faith in your kid and you're doing all the right things by them, right? You're meeting all their needs emotionally and, you know, physically too. They will love you, right? And they will foster that, you know, trusting relationship with you. I've never really lied to them, honestly. And sometimes I wish I could have lied to them. I would have gotten out of certain situations a lot quicker. But, you know, when I told them, hey, I drink a glass of wine here and there, my dad's like, that's fine. I'm not going to stop you, because I did the same thing when I was younger. Not the normal expectation you'd have from a father, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But I think because he opened the space for letting us be, we never took it too far.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is what ultimately made me feel empowered, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is such a good point, because growing up, this is something I noticed in a lot of households. Parents that were very strict, who didn't necessarily trust their kids to do the right thing, they actually drove their kids to take all kinds of stupid risks and to do all kinds of things that they, I think, normally would not have done. So, you know, when you put that trust in your children, and like you said, which is, you know, it's beautiful what you said, that, you know, as long as you do right by your kids and you're meeting their emotional needs, their physical needs, and you're putting that trust in them, they're going to want to please you. They're going to want to do the right thing. They're not going to take it lightly. The rebellion comes when your children feel stifled, when they feel like you are not putting that trust in them and you're not giving them any space or the encouragement to make their own decisions. So beautifully said, I think we do need to, you know, lay off a little bit and put that trust in our children, and they will make sure that they don't take it lightly.
Yeah. And despite being a girl or a guy, right, in that situation, like not having those,
yeah,
you know, trusting your daughters as much as you trust your sons, I think.
Exactly. Exactly.
And ultimately, I think the important thing is for our culture to trust sons as much as they trust daughters, and not having bias there, because their kids won't do wrong by them, I think, if they have that fostering relationship.
Exactly. It's all about, you know, trust and building that relationship with your kids and having that open relationship. I love the fact that you said you've never lied to your parents because you felt that you could always go to them, be honest with them, and that they would understand, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's sort of a good thing to keep in mind, is that if you leave that door open for your children to feel comfortable coming to you and sharing whatever's on their mind is very important.
And then going back to your question, I think the only limitation I feel growing up in a predominantly female household is that I really only understand women. Or at least I felt that for a majority of my life, right?
Yeah.
You know, I was around my sisters, around my mom, and obviously my dad was working for a majority of the time. But I think just after getting married, I was like, what is this creature? You know? what did you do about it? He's a great guy. But it is different, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure I wouldn't have felt as confused if I had a brother. I would understand all this is how just men are, right? And I'm sure you felt like similarities with like Roop and, you know, Jeej, right?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this is just how they are.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. But, you know, it's kind of interesting too, because you get to now learn a whole new species, you know,
it's like a science project.
Is known as men. I'm so glad that your parents raised you the way that they did, because I think parents like them should really be celebrated. Because despite societal pressures, they choose to embrace and empower their daughters. And that's so evident in the way that you and your sisters are. When I see all three of you, immediately I think of what a great job your parents have done. For me, I think the key takeaway from this episode is really how these parents have redefined success within our cultural context, really prioritizing the daughter's well-being and achievements over like the traditional gendered expectations. And this, in my opinion, showcases the quiet revolution that's happening within South Asian families. And I couldn't be happier. Thank you so much, Ritu, Pabi, for joining me today. It's been a pleasure having you, and I'm glad that we've gotten this conversation started. And I'd like to say to all the parents of daughters only, who only have daughters, you are so incredibly, incredibly lucky. There is a phrase that I never forget. It's from a movie. I can't even remember the name of this Bollywood movie. Ritu, maybe you can. It's with Kareena Kapoor, and she's about to sing a song. It's Papa Ki Pari Hume. And it's about like how she's her father's princess. And before she goes into this song, she says that a son is a son until he gets himself a wife, but a daughter is a daughter all her life. And that's something I've never forgotten. What a blessing it is to have girls. So thank you for coming on and sharing your family perspective. And I can't wait to have you come on with another topic another time.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, Joji.
Honestly, thank you to Masiji and Masurji for raising such a beautiful person. I'd like to end this episode by saying, Sokyo manda akye jitjame rajan, which means, why call her bad? From her, kings are born. Thank you for listening to Roo. We appreciate you joining us as we cultivate a community of strong, empowered women, one story at a time. If you or someone you know has a story you'd like to share, please contact us at roodaraz@gmail.com. That's roohdaraz@gmail.com. Also, do us a favor and please share this podcast with your sisters, your mom, your friends, aunties, your eyebrow lady, like any lady you know. you know, you get the idea. Till next time, kush raho, be well.